Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I know it's not Saturday, it's a special edition. I really thought this was a cool guy that you guys want to hear from. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. You can also check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. And you can email me, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. You can also check the show out on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. So if you miss the show or you like come in the middle and you're like, wait, what did they say in the beginning? All the shows are archived. Just look up the show title, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Well, this guy I'm talking to tonight, he's been in the business for a minute, and he's young, right? Isn't that crazy? He's been in there since he was a kid. And, you know, he's still working, and he's still viable, so that's a great thing. And he's a black actor who's doing it. You might have seen him in Nickelodeon's The Journey of Alan Strange. That was back in the day. Or you might have seen him in Malcolm in the Middle. You might have seen him in The Day After Tomorrow or Perception. But right now, he's playing in The Rookie, the show on ABC, and he's playing James Murray, a really nice guy on the show. And I think he's a nice guy in person. I don't know him, but it seems like that. Good evening, RJ Smith.
Good evening, Joy. How you doing?
I'm glad that we're talking together. I know you're busy,
yes.
And I appreciate this time that you're taking to talk to me. Just about your life
absolutely.
And what you're doing.
Absolutely.
So,
well, I want to say it's an honor. Thank you.
Oh, no. Look, I love talking to people and learning their stories. We were just talking before about being a parent, being an artist, and juggling. How do you do it? How do you stay centered in that? You have a daily ritual. What is it that keeps you centered?
Lots of coffee. My wife and I love coffee in the morning, sometimes coffee in the evening. And there's always an appropriate time for a glass of wine throughout the day. So, yeah, you know, that would be our first ingredient, our first support factor. But I kid you not, it's one of those things when you become a parent, you just kind of play back the tape of all the times. At least I did when my mother would just say, oh, wait till you have your own. You'll see why I go through all the things I go through,
mm-hmm.
you know, to keep you safe and keep you on the right path. And it is true, you know, once you have your own, you do realize all the time and energy that was put into you as a kid. And I know a lot of people are not fortunate to, let's say, have their parents in their life, but I was very blessed to have my mom and my dad. And my dad is not my biological father, but he's the man that raised me since I was 9 months old. So I was very fortunate and very lucky. But I will tell you, it is a serious juggling act when you have babies. So you have double diaper duty. My wife, she is also in the business, so she is a director. She just recently, her more recent project, she was one of the directors on season 2 of a Black Lady sketch show. She's currently getting ready to do some stuff for Sesame Street. So our schedules, they're all over the place with work. But I will say what we always try to make sure we do is put our kids first. So as long as they're taken care of, as long as we know that, you know, their babysitter, their daycare center, as long as we know that they're in order, then everything else kind of just follows suit. And it can be tiresome. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had in my life to be a parent. I will say one of my wife's old bosses used to call his kids beautiful inconveniences. And it is absolutely, true. You know, they do inconvenience your schedule, but they're a beautiful sight, and they do so much for your life. And so once we, you know, on a weekly basis, even daily basis, once we know that they're taken care of, then we kind of figure out everything else. But
you feel comfortable.
It can be draining.
Yeah,
you feel a lot more comfortable with your work schedule. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. This is kind of silly, but are you a light roast, medium roast, or dark roast coffee drinker? And what do you put in your coffee?
Ooh, I'm a dark roast kind of guy. And
you
I love
the espresso lane.
Oh, yeah. Got to stay awake. And back in the day, I used to put cream and sugar. Now I kind of just go for cream because as I'm getting older, I've got to really watch out on my sugar. So I try to just do the cream now. But the dark roast, that's my go-to.
For drinking.
It's a nice dark blend for drinking, yeah. That's my go-to.
Now,
I was reading
that you come from a very religious family. Is that still the case? And where does religion fit in your life now as a family man, as a husband, as a parent?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So growing up, the beginning stages of my life, we were not a religious family. We didn't attend church. I knew about church, you know, we were kind of like that twice a year family. You go for Easter and Christmas events. And it wasn't I was about 7, 8 years old that we really got our lives more involved in the church, you know, gave our lives to Christ and, you know, did the whole religious thing. But then I will definitely say kudos to my church home back home in California, Zoe Christian Fellowship. Based in Whittier, what that provided for me at that point in my life was an understanding of it goes beyond religion. For me, it's about a divine relationship that I have with a higher power, and making sure that I'm centered, especially now being a father. I want to be centered, not just for myself, but I want to be centered as a husband to my wife and make sure that, you know, my actions are filled with integrity and making sure that my actions as a father are filled with integrity. I'm not going to be perfect, but my belief system, my activated faith, as I call it, is still very much a huge part of my life. I've always been big on the size of your battle will determine the size of your victory. And so I'm not one to be super preachy, but I will say I live by certain standards. I live by certain standards that I think have definitely suited me well in, again, just my personal life, but also my career. How I look at this business, how I look at this industry. You know, the one thing I remember as a kid, you learn, you know, that you are in the world, but don't be of the world. Well, I take that same philosophy towards Hollywood. I'm in the entertainment industry, but I'm not of it. Thus, I'm not going to lose myself to it to the point where I don't know who R.J. Smith is at the end of work days. I play characters, and I absolutely adore that. But at the end of the day, we all go home. I still need to remember that I'm R.J. Smith now. I'm not James Murray, you know, on The Rookie or back in the day, even when I was a kid. It's like when I went home, I wasn't Alan Strange anymore. That was done for the day. Now you got to go back to being R.J. And the beauty of my parents, why I give them credit, is when I went back home, I still had chores to do.
Even though
I was making a lot of money. I got a black mama.
What were some of your chores? Do you remember?
Washing the dishes, which I hated. Washing my clothes. Vacuuming. I had to clean the toilets in our place. So that's why when I got married, my wife was like, wow, you're very thorough when it comes to cleaning. I say, me and my sisters, we had to be. Just what it was. So, you know, I definitely give a lot of kudos and praise to my parents for maintaining that train of thought and that just kind of tradition of making sure your kids know how to take care of themselves and know the basics. So even as an actor, I still can resort back to, I know the basics, you know. I know how to cook up some rice and beans if I need to. I know how to, you know, make some scrambled eggs, and you know, I know how to take care of myself on a basic level. I never allowed the industry, not only your parents, you know, you don't want that, but you don't want to allow the industry to coddle you, because the industry, you know, a lot of people get used to people attending to them, Like when you're on set, you know, okay, oh, Mr. Smith, can I get you some coffee, some dark roast? Can I get you, you know, some breakfast? Or can I get you this or that?
Well,
you know, when you get
this,
home.
RJ, let me ask you this. When you were growing up, you had your parents. Were there any other mentors that you can remember that made like a dent or that, you know, like that person really helped me stay in the lane or teach me great things about acting or about life? Did you, what other mentors did you have?
I will definitely say Pastor Ed Smith, Bishop Ed Smith now, was a great mentor in my life. While I was acting when I was younger, I was also dancing. So I used to dance for Reebok, toured with them as a little bit when I was younger, and then I toured with Nike with a group called Culture Shock based in Los Angeles. It's actually, they're global, but the particular company I was with, we were in Los Angeles. And I had a lot of dance mentors, which was great, just leaders within the dance world. But one dancer too, Jason Hannons, who was actually part of the church dance ministry, he was a great mentor. On set, which was very interesting, I didn't really take notice to mentorship until I was more so in my late teens and early 20s when I really started recognizing who I wanted to become as a performer. Because that's the thing.
Okay.
Transitioning from child actor to adult actor can be a very tricky thing. You have to really navigate some pitfalls, some kind of organic barriers. Like naturally when you're a child actor who becomes a teenage actor, who then becomes adult actor, most tend to act the same way. And what I mean by that is their craft doesn't really shift. It doesn't
evolve.
Really grow.
Evolve.
It doesn't evolve. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You'll see, you know, early 20-year-old still using tactics they used when they were 13 or 8. And so it was around my late teens, or really around the time I got The Day After Tomorrow, when I said, who do I want to be? Because I can still be the same guy I have been since, you know, starting the business at the age of 9, or do I want to become something different? And so I started making a conscious choices and having that awareness. Subsequently, you start looking at people. So one of my greatest mentors is LeVar Burton. He's a friend, family friend, and just watching him, how he conducts himself on and off the set has been a treat for me. I love LeVar. I love him. Oh,
yeah, and
he's phenomenal.
I've seen him. Most people only seen him in nice characters, but I've seen him do like the bad guy, and I was like blown away when I saw him do a bad guy because I'm always used to seeing him like the good guy. And I was like, there you go. That's why you are still working. That's why you're still doing this crap.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, did you ever have a regular job, like not non-acting job? And if so, what was your like regular job, you know, like just the normal job, like the rest of us folks?
That's a wonderful question. That's a wonderful question. So, again, I started acting when I was 9. I got into the union when I was 10. So I'm almost, you know, 30 years in the game, and this year I'll be turning 39 this November. And it wasn't until 2006. So things had got a little slow, and especially around that time, that was my 20s. So you're going through this whole transition point as well, evolving. And things got a little slow, and I was like, I could use some extra cash right now. You know, my auditions are coming in, you know, every blue moon, you know, let me see what I can do. So I went and worked. I found a job. The Day After Tomorrow, I think, it just came out 2 years prior in 2004. So I went and found a job at a bookstore. It was a faith-based bookstore in Orange County, California. And when I went to apply for the job, they were like, hey, you know, you seem great. You seem qualified. You know, we're just curious. We loved you in The Day After Tomorrow. Why are you taking this job? I was like, well, you know, I said, honestly, I could use some cash right now, some extra cash just while things are slow. And that wasn't to say I was being, you know, ridiculous with my spending. It was just when things are slow, I, I, I'm the type of person, I don't like to struggle unnecessarily. So if I see okay, there's a little gap right now, money's not coming in as heavily, what can I do, you know, to kind of subsidize and kind of just, you know, keep things moving
afloat,
comfortably. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so so they're like, well, I mean, that sounds great. You know, we'd love to hire you. And then I also explained to them how I had never had a real, well, I won't say a real job, because acting is a real job. I never had a non-acting job, a non-performing
job, okay.
job, a regular 9-to-5. I'd never had that. Because I will say, acting is kind of a 9-to-5 when you really get down to it. You know, it's a job. You know, this isn't called show friends. It's called show business. So I do have hours that I work. I do have, well, I do get overtime, you know, but I do get, it's a unique kind of 9-to-5. So I would say the average 9-to-5. I never had that experience until 2006. And I worked this job for about maybe about 3 to 4 months. And then shortly after that, I booked a film called Beacon Rewind. With Jack Black and Mos Def and Danny Glover and Mia Farrell that I ended up shooting in Jersey. So I had to quit that bookstore job to go do this movie. Following year, same thing happened again. I was like, I need a little bit more money. Went and worked at a golf shop for about a month and a half. Shortly after that, I booked
this
First Sunday.
This is the life of an actor, This is the life. Yeah. It's like, you know, people don't realize that there are slow times. And even though you might have been in a film, you know, like even the year before, you still need, you know, money for other things. Let me ask you this. You're married now. But when you were younger, maybe on the set or something, who was your first crush? Who did you have a crush on, or maybe somebody in the business or not? Maybe it was the girl next door. Who was your first crush?
Oh, boy, I'm going to get in trouble.
If you want,
I
know. Is that too personal?
No, well, I mean, I think it's funny. It's a blessing to be happily married, and I will say that I love to say it that way because my wife and I this year will be celebrating 7 years of happy marriage.
Yay!
We have ups and downs, like any couples. Thank you. It's a working, you know, it's work. You have to put forth an effort for it to manifest certain blessings, but for it to, you know, to produce certain harvests, you got to put some work in. And so we're both doing that. I will say when I was younger, I had a crush on a few people. I don't know if I want to say their names, but I had a few crushes on people growing. I had a few crushes on people growing up. What was interesting though, a lot of them became my friends. And so, one in particular, you know, you crossed that friendship line. But a beautiful story that I will say about my marriage and my relationship with my wife.
Okay.
We actually met when we were kids. So a show I was on called Nick Freno, Licensed Teacher. I was 12 years old. I was one of the lead characters. But the show was at a school, we had what was called atmosphere/background actors. And one episode, my wife was actually background. So we technically met when we were 12. And later met many years later again, we started dating in 2013. She reminded me, she said, you know, we actually met when we were kids. And I said, what do we work on? She was like, Nick Freno. And I didn't believe her at first. But if you go on IMDb right now and you look up Nick Freno, one of the pictures, it's me with some of the other cast members, and my wife is in the picture as well, and we were both 12.
Oh,
and I said, wow,
so
you're
cool.
Right. We did encounter each other previously.
Gosh.
So, it, you know, it's definitely one of those serendipity, you know, God-ordained moments, I like to call it. And, she's a perfect fit, and she was right on time. When it came to my life, she was right on time.
Now, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, boy. To have more energy. if I could somehow just manifest energy, oh, my gosh, I think that would be an amazing superpower because they're just, you don't realize the little things in life that matter. You know, when we were kids and we had to take naps, but we didn't want to take naps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right.
My gosh. As a grown up, I yearned for days that I could just take a 15, 20 minute nap, because they do a body good. I mean, if you can get a 15 minute nap in, it does a body good. But it's hard to find that 15 minute, you know, those intervals where you can just say, hey, I'm going to shut my eyes for a little bit. Because you're constantly saying, oh, man, well, okay, I got to go do this. Oh, okay, I got to go get ready for this. And if I could just have a superpower where I could just give myself a jolt of energy anytime I needed it, man, that would be, a self-charge button on, like, on your hip, and you just hit it, and you're just ready to go. Man, that would be so awesome. But,
talking about the naps, you're traveling a lot, back and forth, East Coast, West Coast. And we talked you came on about COVID, and you had a scare with COVID. Do you want to tell us about what happened or how?
So, both my wife and I have had a couple scares. She's attended a few events, work-related, and, she's around someone who unfortunately caught COVID, but thank God she and I, we have not, and our kids haven't, but the scares have been real, and they primarily come from our kids. So because they go to school, they go to daycare, we've gotten two calls now within the last month and a half where we're getting ready to take the kids to school, and we get a call right before we leave the door saying, hey, so unfortunately the kids can't come. They were exposed to COVID this week, so you guys need to quarantine.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
What ends up happening is you get a call from the city. The city actually calls you saying, hey, we have on record that your child was exposed, so you need to quarantine for 10 days. And so in that process, you're just praying that, okay, I don't want my kids to get sick. But you're also praying, well, I hope I didn't contract COVID from them if they have it. Because not only does, from a health perspective, I get all the ramifications of that. But from a work perspective, if I test positive, even if it's a false positive, I can't show up on set. They're like, no, you can't come. So now all of a sudden your work's being affected. Your finances are being affected. And so it just becomes this big whirlwind of, okay, I need my kids to be healthy, number one. But then secondly, okay, I need to be healthy because I got to go to work. My wife needs to be healthy so she can go to work. And it literally happened back to back. So it was around
quarantined for a month?
Yeah. We basically were quarantined for a total of 20 days, so almost a month. But it was, separated by like maybe a week and a half in between ish. It was a stressful time, especially too, during the holiday season. So, certain plans we had got canceled. Thankfully my folks flew out from the West Coast. They ended up coming here and spending time with us after the first quarantine. First quarantine, they came and visited. As soon as they left, my kids went back to school a couple days later, and we had to quarantine immediately right after that.
Absolutely crazy.
It's very exhausting. I will say it's nice to see that things are getting better in relation to COVID. If you remember 2020, I mean, people were passing away left and right. One of my wife's coworkers passed away April of 2020. And so
I know doctors who passed away in New York.
Right.
I know people in Philadelphia passed away. Let's talk about this. This month is Black History Month. What do you remember when you were younger about Black History Month? Who was the first person you learned about in Black History Month? Or do you remember talking about it at all?
Well, I do. Thank God, outside of our traditional American educational system that that we are subjected to, I had parents who just really encouraged me to go outside the box in all arenas of life. And so growing up, it was very much so introduced to me about knowing more than what the school books are saying. So Frederick Douglass was someone, I read his autobiography when I was a teenager. I did the same for Malcolm X, who was a big hero of mine. I know a lot of people who've not done their homework when it comes to Malcolm X might, you know, have certain rhetoric that's like, oh, he was racist, he was this or that. I said, well, you have to remember, he might have, if you want to call him racist, sure, let's say he was racist, but he was only meeting the enemy with the same energy. He was going through a very hard time where racism was just being thrown at him left and right. So he came with a certain energy that matched what was being given to him. But let's not forget forgiveness. Let's not forget change. Let's not forget evolving. After he got back from Mecca, he had a different perspective. Not that he wasn't about black progression and black excellence, but he also realized, hey, you know what? While we can be a strong people, we can also get along with others. And that's when he became even more powerful. So I definitely used to do my homework, still do to this day. My biggest story, a friend of mine, about 10 years ago, he remembers something I told him 20 years ago, which was Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I was a teenager I used to read about Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he was like, when we were young, he's like, what's this, man? Why are you reading up on this, you know, Black Wall Street, Greenleaf? I said, no. I said, dude, trust me. Like, this stuff is real and it's going to come out. And, you know, about 10 years ago, I would say when people started talking about it more, and then within the last 5 years, I mean, you know, between shows like Watchmen and things of that nature, it's becoming, it's getting more screen time.
And you see that got canceled, right?
I saw it got canceled. There's a lot of truth that can't be handled within Hollywood, but also outside of Hollywood. You know, the world we live in a world that prefers to live on the surface and also prefers to, you know, exist and kind of marinate within lies. Just to kind of not have to deal with truth, or just deal with own, you know, self-identity. It's unfortunate. Yeah. A lot of people who just don't know who they are.
Let me talk about your character, James, on The Rookie. Real cool guy.
Yes, who very much so knows who he is.
He knows who he is. That's what I was going to say. He knows who he is. Yeah. But now he's got another thing to think about. His love interest, Nyla Harper, Nakia, she was actually on the show. I talked to her. She's pregnant now.
So what's
the next? Can you give us any inkling about what's next? I mean, can you tell us any secrets, any gold, you know, something?
I'll say this. It's going to get interesting, beautifully interesting.
Okay.
Makia is an amazing individual, and she's so much fun to work with. I definitely will say I'm highly blessed and highly favored to be working on that show. Nathan Fillion, I mean, the entire cast, they are just an awesome group of people, the crew. And so it's been nothing but joyous for me. The nature of our relationship, Nyla and James, what's so beautiful is I'm able to pull aspects of my real marriage and tap into that and kind of, you know, project it in the relationship that James has with Nyla. And, you know, I'm a daddy. So I remember when my wife told me she thought she was pregnant. She had come home from a photo shoot, and I had been by myself at our apartment, and I was just really into my headspace, Joe. I was just like really deep in thought. She gets back and I'm like, hey, babe, you know, we're going to be great. Everything's going to be awesome. Like, we're heading in the right path. You know, I see our future even getting stronger. Like, you know, just this big old speech. And she goes, that's great. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're so happy and positive because I think I'm pregnant. I went and got some pregnancy tests. Let's go check. I said, okay.
Oh,
and
Lord.
We went and she did the test right there. And, you know, within a few minutes, you get your results. And I was like, that's a pregnant, right? We're about to be parents. So that complete just like, you know, shock to your system and that just, you know, like, oh my gosh, we're about to
transition
to a
whole new
thing.
I love that scene.
And that scene was real life. That
was awesome. You know, I'm waiting for Lucy Chen. I'm waiting for Lucy Chen and Tim. Like, when are they going to? Because that's like keeps almost about to happen,
right?
But it doesn't happen. Like,
I mean, it's boiling. It's boiling. It's boiling because
okay.
You're just like, okay, you know, just the right little moment, and you know, I think that's gonna. I don't know. We're gonna see because it's definitely a tempting situation where you're like, all right, where are we headed with this? Because you see that something's there, but you're like,
yes,
I don't know. And that's what's also funny, but interesting and beautiful at the same time is a lot of the storylines, at least for my character, I don't really find out until like let's say the day of or you know a week before.
So
when I first got this role, it wasn't presented to me that I was going to be a love interest. The way it was presented was, hey, it's a guest star. You're this community guy, and you know, you're kind of like a potential liaison between the community and the police. And I said, okay, great. Did that first episode, which was phenomenal. The dialogue especially was very current to the climate of what we were going through in America.
Yeah.
And it was like a month after that, they said, hey, we want to bring you back from some more. And then it got revealed to me, by the way, we think we want to play the love interest card between you and Makia's character. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, that sounds wonderful. And and then it was, what, last year, so season four, it's like, hey, and guess what? You about to be a daddy again, technically, because James already has his two kids. So now this will be his third child, technically. And so I think the beauty of especially that moment when Nyla tells James that she's pregnant, you know, because in my real life, when my wife told me the day that she thought she was pregnant and we found out she was, I was like, wow, I know what that feels like. I know what that energy is. And it was just so beautiful to be able to project that moment on screen. But I think it's fascinating the way the writers, the show, the executives, how they're just playing this dynamic between, you know, a cop and a citizen, you know, because you got to remember cops, they are citizens at the end of the day too. And so they have their own relationship.
That's she's a female thing. Cop. You know, she's not just, they don't just have all male cops, which is great. They have female cops. Let me ask you this. What scares RJ Smith?
Scares RJ Smith.
What scares you right now today?
I think there's a few things that scare me. I would say from a personal, like within my household, you know, I'm always just praying for my kids. I just don't want anything to happen to them. And I think, you know, just because of things that have happened in this world, things that we've seen, the world right now is just a little sensitive. And so you never know how someone's going to react, how someone's going to lash out. So, you know, I just try to monitor that fear of anything happening to my kids by just, you know, staying strong in my prayer, but just also being aware of their surroundings, my surroundings. But what scares me about just mankind, you know, outside of my personal household is lack of empathy I see nowadays. And I think if we can't sympathize and empathize with others, and really listen to each other, then at one point we're going to take each other out. You know, we're just going to cancel who we are as a human race. Because I'm one of those believers, like Jane Elliott, I believe, you know, there's one race, the human race. There's various ethnicities, but there's one human race. And when we really stop listening to each other's experiences, because everyone's different. When we stop wanting to explore and become aware, that frightens me because that then puts us into like, you know, the cave age days, as we know, where it's just like there's no exposure to life. We only want to see things in our little circle, our little box, and only one way. And life just isn't made that way. If we listen, we can learn how someone else lives and understand their perspective, why they made certain decisions. And again, have empathy and sympathy for that person, mm-hmm. as opposed to just shunning them and judging them and pushing them to the wayside. And I think that's another reason why the suicide rate has gone up in our country. A lot of people just feel alone.
Yes.
They feel like no one wants to listen. And a lot of people aren't listening.
It's been very hard for a lot of people.
It's tough.
I think it's been very hard because you're isolated. And we're social, we're social beings. Most people, even introverts, need a little social activity.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the COVID, you know, you have to isolate. And you can even say in your experience, I mean, you had to isolate in general, but then you had these two scares. So it's this okay, if I go out, everything's fine, and then boom, you know, so there's that.
Right.
Well, RJ, this
it's
has
like
been
that
awesome
talking to
you.
Oh,
it's been great talking to you.
I am
looking forward to seeing what happens between you and Makia, her character,
Me
Nyla.
Too.
Please, oh, you know what? My friend, one of our friends, he knows you from another set. And we're friends on Facebook. He's going to kill me. Brian.
Uh-oh.
His name is Brian. Tall guy. He plays your father. He's light-skinned, kind of chunky build.
From We Made This Movie. Yes.
He said, Joy, please say hi. And he says, you're an awesome guy. I wanted to tell you that. I said, oh, my God, let me not forget this.
Brother Brian was amazing. Yes, we did a film together back in 2012. He played my father. Yes. He was amazing. We shot that thing. Yeah, in Connecticut.
He's an amazing actor.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
he's tremendous.
You know what?
Actor.
He's one of the hardest working actors, almost. Every time I turn around, he got a job here, left, right, up,
he
down,
got a job.
around.
As he should.
Got a job.
As he should. I mean, I know that is an amazing brother. Before I go, I just want to say that's one thing, too, about awareness. You know, I'm a West Coast guy. I'm California, born and raised. But now live on the East Coast. And it is so nice to see a whole new perspective of life living on the other side of the country. It's done wonders for my life. And, you know, having the seasons. I never grew up in seasons. You know, summer, winter, spring, and fall. It's all that. So it's so nice to be out here on the East Coast. I do love it. But because of work, I'm constantly going back and forth. And because family's also on the West. But, yeah, it's just nice to have that all-around exposure of America. And so, yeah, y'all East Coasters, y'all got it going on. I love y'all out here.
East Coast? Yeah, I'm going to do my finger sign. You can't see it, but I'm doing my little finger sign. You know, like I do that.
Let me stop. East side, what's up?
Let me let you go. We're going to get in trouble on here.
I know. We are there. Yes, we are. Joy, thank you so much again.
Oh, my God.
I do appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
It was an honor.
I hope you have a wonderful experience with this show, and I hope it leads to more and more work for you. And bless
Amen.
Your family
Amen.
And your kids, and just hopefully everything. You'll be in a bubble of, you know, blessings.
Amen.
Let's put it that way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And all that right back at you. I hope you have a beautiful and amazing 2022. Let's make it something awesome.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later, okay?
Thanks, Joy.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with actor RJ Smith. He's currently on ABC's The Rookie. You want to check him out. He has a great character. He's a community activist, and he's dating a cop. Her name is Nyla Harper. You want to see what's going on with them. They have a really cool relationship, very mature relationship, you know. He talks very mature for a guy, you know. I was like, okay, who's writing this script? So check them out, ABC's The Rookie. I love their show. And coming up this weekend, I'm going to be speaking with Majora Carter. She wrote a book, and we're going to be talking about, she's a real estate developer. She's on it from the Bronx. She's worked with the community for years and years and trying to make it a better place for Black people of color. So you want to tune into that show. I guess it's coming up this weekend. After that, I'm going to be talking with Dr. Elijah Anderson about his book, Black and White Space. He's a sociologist. That's the next Saturday. But you can always, if you email me, you want to sign up for the newsletter, it's SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. You can check me out on Twitter @JoyKeys. You can also check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. And if you've missed the show, check them out, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio, and probably many other places where you get your podcasts. I hope you guys have a great evening. Stay warm or stay cool, depending on where you are. Good night, good morning, good afternoon. Thank you so much for all your support.
So, you want to be a hero. Here are some ways to get the job. Hunt down that killer shark. Or run into a burning house to save a kitten. Luckily, there's an easier way to become a hero. Call 911 if you see someone experiencing the symptoms of stroke, sudden weakness on one side, or trouble speaking, walking, or seeing. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. You'll be a real hero. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.